Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So for the last couple days, been promoting the clip of Joe Biden saying, look, you vote for a union if you want to. Don't let the employers talk you out of it. Don't let them harass and intimidate you. And I'll tell you, that was in my lifetime the most important statement a president has said to a working person in my lifetime. And good on Joe Biden, and exactly the reason that I voted for him. Now it's going to be interesting to see if that causes a spark, that people finally go, hey, maybe it's okay. Maybe we don't have to hide. Maybe we don't have to be afraid. Maybe we can now come out and say, yes, we demand better treatment. And the question is organized labor back? Are they coming back? And here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked Timothy Noah to come talk with us. Timothy's a columnist for the New Republic. He's got a piece out, oddly enough, titled, Is Organized Labor Coming Back? Timothy, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess that is the big question with this announcement by Joe Biden. And let's start with that first. What were your thoughts when you saw Biden, you saw that clip?
I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned. I shouldn't have been because he ran a very pro-union campaign. The Economic Policy Institute actually put together a very interesting video, I don't know if you've seen it, where they put together a bunch of things that Biden said on the campaign trail about unions. And it was really remarkable.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Timothy. I remember 2008, Barack Obama did the exact same thing. You know, Barack Obama said we were going to get something better than the Employee Free Choice Act. He was going to be the most pro-union president ever. And my favorite line, I'm going to put comfortable shoes on and walk picket lines.
Uh-huh.
None of that stuff happened. So, you know, a lot of the campaign rhetoric, I was going, it's campaign rhetoric. The fact right. that on day one, by 5 o'clock, he changed the complexion of the NLRB. And here we are a little over a month down the road. He makes this statement, why I voted for him.
Right. He fired the general counsel at the NLRB, who was very anti-union. And he gave this statement about the Amazon organizing drive in Bessemer, Alabama. He didn't exactly say you should vote in the union, but I think everybody pretty much got the message. He all but said it. He doesn't want to formally intervene, and he emphasized, you know, it's not up to me, but it sure as hell isn't up to your bosses. It's up to you. But he also talked so much about the virtue of unions that it was hard to miss that he was saying in between the lines, vote in the union. And that's extraordinary. I'm not sure a president has ever done that before.
Well, there's the supposedly FDR said that if he was a worker at a factory, he would join a union.
Right. But it's one thing saying I would join a union. It's another thing to say, here's this union election. Here's how I think you should vote, which, again, he didn't say explicitly, but he did say it implicitly.
No, what I took from that is you're right. He didn't say explicitly, you do this. He said you should have the right to choose however you want. And don't let the fear and intimidation, supervisors don't harass. I mean, he went through that language. And to me, if I'm one of those folks, you know, about to cast my ballot, I'm thinking, you know, the federal government's got my back. Maybe there's somebody behind me that's not going to let me be hung out to dry, because I think if there are unfair labor practices, if Amazon does come down like a lot of union busting companies do, I think there will be, for the first time in a very long time, some retribution from the federal government.
You know, the other thing that Biden said, which was hugely important, and I don't think I've ever heard a politician say it. I've heard union people say it a lot. He said, look, the National Labor Relations Act doesn't say join a union, don't join a union, we don't care. It says it is the policy of the United States to encourage collective bargaining because that aids commerce.
But that, you know, that goes back to the original intent of the National Labor Relations Act, which I
like
to say.
It's still there. It's still there in the statute.
Yep, it's still right there. The original intent was not to get, because there isn't in the original act, there isn't a line, there isn't a paragraph, there's not a word that gives employers rights. It's all giving employees, workers rights. because they understood the employer has all the rights. This was leveling the playing field. And again, over the last 70 plus years, the ossification of labor law has swung the pendulum back into the side of employers and away from we, the working people.
Right.
So in looking at what's going on in Alabama, then how do you see this shaking out? Because this has got to be a huge boost in the arm.
I don't know. I think it's a little risky because
it's Alabama.
It's Alabama, but it's Bessemer, Alabama. Which is a Birmingham suburb, and Birmingham, Alabama is no stranger to labor activism. That's where the steel mills were. There are probably a few still left there. I haven't checked lately. One or two anyway. It's a pro-union region in a very anti-union state, in a right-to-work state. And I don't know whether workers will see it as encouragement or whether they'll see it as an imposition. I have to believe, though, that just because of the power of the bully pulpit, it's more likely to help rather than hurt.
So and I know you don't like to make predictions because I don't either, but how do you think it's going to go? Do you think at the end of the month you're going to see a victory? How do you see that playing out?
I really don't know, but I will say this. If it is a victory, it'll be a huge victory, for personal victory for Biden, because certainly going in, all the betting was this is probably going to lose. And just because, past experience.
No, I mean, that was my thought from the beginning. I'm going, why would you choose, Bessemer, Alabama to make this big play, especially with a union as small as the retail workers? And I know they're backed by UFCW, but it seemed like they were setting themselves up for a loss. And I know you got to fight.
And Amazon was uniquely stupid in this fight by trying to bar mail-in voting. That's gotta have boomeranged on them, don't you think?
Absolutely. No, I mean, Amazon has done everything wrong in this. All of the harassment that I'm reading about, you can't even go to the bathroom without being assaulted by some kind of propaganda. They're doing the captive audience meetings. They're doing all the things that right out of the Union Buster playbook. That, I got to tell you, if it's me, I'm repelling against it. I'm going to vote against you just because you put me through all that.
And the mail-in ballot, we're in the middle of a deadly pandemic. Are you really, and you're trying to persuade me that you're a benevolent employer and therefore I don't need a union, but you're insisting that I show up at this special polling place to cast my ballot when I should be spending as little time as possible on the premises, given the pandemic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you said, if this is a victory, it's going to be a huge one, probably on the scale of GM from the old days, because this is the biggest employer. This is the nut to crack right now, because Amazon is right now at the point, and I keep telling my Teamster buddies, better figure out how to organize their drivers, because eventually we're going to end up with a gig economy driver system that's going to put UPS out of business. I think folks are taking it seriously.
I think it's the most sort of politically significant union organizing vote since the vote in where was it? Was it in Georgia? The Volkswagen.
Tennessee
in 2013, where politicians got involved in that one too, but they got involved on the pro-management side because these Republicans were terrified at the thought that the UAW would gain a foothold in their state.
This is, again, one of these moments where I'm glad to see it. Now, your piece on, and I thought it was fantastic, is organized labor coming back. You kind of took some swipes at the minimum wage increases that I've been arguing for a long time. Labor spends a lot of time saying we need to raise the minimum wage, as where I keep saying we need to organize more people so that they do better than the minimum wage. Because you go through the kind of the history of it a little bit that I thought was important.
Well, I think raising the minimum wage is incredibly important. Struck me looking, I went back and looked at the votes, the House votes on the minimum wage and also on the Jobs Act, which is this labor rights bill, very important labor rights bill that that Biden has endorsed. And there were actually more Republican votes for the labor rights bill in the House than for raising the minimum wage. Not a lot more, but a couple more. And that surprised me, because raising the minimum wage, you know, over the last 70 years, you know, it's become harder in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, but it hasn't been that big a deal. It's a very popular thing to do. And so the minimum wage has been raised a lot. Meanwhile, over that same period, organized labor has desperately been trying to get a labor rights bill passed ever since the 1947 Taft-Hartley Act, which rolled back labor rights, and I think was the biggest contributor to the decline of unions in the U.S. Relative to other nations.
And importantly, the decline of the middle class. I mean, the death of a prosperous working class.
It's the same, they're the same thing as far as I'm concerned. Labor has been struggling to try and pass a pro-labor bill, and it hasn't been able to do it. It wasn't even able to do it during the Johnson years, you know, the sort of, you know, kind of high noon for liberalism. But now, I think there is some hope that the PRO Act will pass. I don't think it's going to pass, you know, tomorrow, but I think we'll probably see it pass in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, from your lips, we desperately need this. And I tell my Republican friends, you know, the reality is you should be in favor of this. This is the meritocracy that you want. This is getting big government out of your lives. This is all of those things that you claim you want. This is workers, you know, creating wealth, sharing in the wealth that they create. It's local bargaining, so you don't have some big overarching government telling you you have to. This is what Republicans should be in favor of.
I absolutely agree. It always has mystified me that conservatives, anti-government conservatives, resist labor unions when they are an alternative to government regulation. It's focused at the ground level. It's all these things conservatives say they're in favor of, and it's not the government. It's just people in a workplace working out their differences, and they have the knowledge that the rest of us don't have. It's a very conservative way to approach regulating businesses.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing, and this is the question that I'm grappling with right now, because, you know, Republicans used to be, you know, somewhat pro-labor. You go back to the Eisenhower years, promoting labor rights was in their platform. I know several former congressmen who were you know, pro-labor Republicans. They were pro-prevailing wage Republicans, which, you know, find one of those today, other than Jim Justice, I guess, now. So for me, this idea that it's possible you think that we could get some kind of major legislation passed through to regain labor power is pretty important, in that I think the Republican Party is trying to reinvent themselves a little bit and take up on Trump's coattails and trying to reach out to those people. I'm curious your thought.
They are. They're trying to connect with the working class, and in order to have any lasting connection to the working class, they're going to have to address unions, they're going to have to be pro-union. Their difficulty is that the guys who write the checks, the fundraisers for the Republican Party, are big business and wealthy individuals, and those are the people in America who really despise unions.
You're absolutely
voters
right.
Voters don't particularly. Voters are fine with unions, polls always suggest. In fact, they're kind of, I think, a majority, even of Republicans at this point, Republican voters support unions. But the money guys just loathe and despise unions.
Yeah, because I got friends who say, well, you know, the unions all give money to Democrats. I'm going, yeah, because they don't have an option. The Republicans are trying to destroy them. There is only one island left, and that's the Democratic Party at this moment. Maybe if the Republicans weren't so crazy and weren't so vehemently opposed policy-wise, maybe you'd see some of that change.
Right. And I think as it is, something like 1 in 3 union members votes Republican, right? It's close to that anyway. It always surprises me when I see it, because the Republican Party is so, so opposed to labor unions. But there are a lot of union guys who are Republicans.
Yeah, it comes down to the guns, though. You know, the God, guns and gays thing. I know a bunch of them. So let me last line of questioning, because, you know, I'm looking at this PRO Act, and you've kind of given me a little bit of hope, because, you know, I had Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, on, who said it's dead on arrival this time around. So you're telling me it's possible maybe down the road. That gives me some hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's dead right now, for sure. I don't want to. But, you know, I think if we see the Democrats pick up some seats in the House, and if they expand their majority in the Senate, it could happen.
I mean, this is one of those moments where, you know, I go back to, you know, my grandparents' generation, and, you know, the stories that my grandfather told me of organizing places and the things that they did and how the law was. That's what I would like to return to. I would like to return to the opportunity of workers to have their say, to be able to collectively bargain and return some of the things that built the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization, the things that my grandparents' generation built.
Yep.
And we do that by giving people the ability to not have to go through what those workers in Alabama are going through. You know, how long is this? How many months has this now been of constant attacks, of constant being berated? Like I said, can't even go to the bathroom without being assaulted by propaganda.
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting about this group in Alabama is it's a relatively new plant, I think. So these are relatively new workers. They move towards unionization really quickly.
As all workers should. Look, I mean, this pandemic should have awakened a lot of us to the fact that evidently the employers don't care, because we didn't get the PPE. In fact, right. You know, the place in Iowa, they were betting on how many people would get sick.
Right, right.
It's crazy, crazy. But I hope you're right. You've given me hope, and I appreciate that. Make sure you check out Timothy Noah's work. The latest piece is Organized Labor Coming Back. We'll get links out. Also, make sure you check out his book, The Great Divergence, America's Growing Inequality Crisis and What We Can Do About It. We'll get links out for that. Timothy, I appreciate the time. Love to have you back again sometime real soon.
Thanks so much.
Good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this